You're listening to the Science Circle Podcast. This is part three of an encore excerpt from a Science Circle presentation on exosociology, our transgalactic relations. For the full-length video of this podcast, please visit sciencecircle.org or search on YouTube for the Science Circle channel. In this episode, we seek ways we might connect and get along with new alien friends. I'm your host, Stephen Van Hook. Welcome. If we do share common soil and seeds, it wouldn't be too surprising to find we have a common resonance in our core. So when we do connect, just how much information can we exchange and how might we do it? That's an important question. How are we going to connect? How are we going to communicate? Carl Jung, in a suggestion, identified certain archetypes that transcend cultural differences, such as the universal theme of a paradise or golden age. He says that universal resonance to particular themes and images may reside in a collective consciousness. And these archetypal themes include the creation of the cosmos, the symbolism of rebirth, the hero in battle to rescue the distressed, sexual images of fertility, symbols of transcendence and release. Joseph Campbell, another deep thinker in a treatment on the power of mythologies, he suggested as well that various images and themes may be universally resonant as applied and passed on by storytellers and artists. I know we've got some storytellers in the room here and probably a few artists. Some of these ancient mythological themes that may be included in your art or stories are Campbell's topics: the mystery of death and life, the procuring of food, the transformation of children into adults, and the relationship of the individual to the group, and so on. And even if these themes may be universally resonant, well, how do we share them? How do we convey them to one another without a common language? Perhaps if we sent pictures, would they be understood? Well, we could send pictures, but something that may be so clear to us in a picture may be misunderstood by others. For example, suppose we see a picture of an adult holding onto a child. And what do we think? We may think that's parental love to them. They may be asking, is this a parent that loves that child, or is this someone about to hurt that child or possibly even eat that child? You saw that coming, cow, didn't you? It's dinner time. So what exactly are we trying to convey? And there might be just too much left unanswered by a photograph. So one suggestion to get around the ambiguity of pictures is to send messages that portray objects in three-dimensional space, somewhat like possibly in a virtual world or virtual reality, using holographic sculptures that an alien can choose to view from any angle, or possibly using the vocabulary of dance and gestures and pointing to teach and convey information. The more information that gets sent, well, of course, the better that we have some sort of understanding. First thing to figure out, what causes dissonance and discord, even warfare among our human species? And can we extrapolate some of these traits to alien relations? And if so, well, it might be best to avoid telling jokes which are so culturally contextual, or hitting on them sexually. That might be a very bad idea. Or trying to convert them to the true faith. Well, that might be another bad idea as well. Or simply trying to imply to them that our planet has the best of all political systems and trying to win their vote in the upcoming election. All of these have demonstrated in my own studies into what works, what doesn't work. Well, these are the topics especially that are going to get us in trouble. So instead, let's consider what themes and images create a resonance between diverse cultures. For example, aliens most likely will have some means of perpetuating themselves, so they may well tenderly care for their offspring. No doubt when we finally learn to communicate fully with dolphins, well, there's another alien intelligence. If we do communicate with those dolphins, I bet they're going to be telling us stories about their children and the games they play and conflicts they have with other dolphins and their rituals of birth and death. And certainly they're going to have a lot to say about water, which is a transculturally resonant theme, in my opinion, in my studies. Parallels with these planets within our galaxy may be most like ourselves. We share roughly the same cosmic time frame, an astronomical dust as they do, and given the vast expanse of space. Well, we live just right next door to these other star systems. So how might some of the traits of our Earth, our social traits, what might be transgalactic among the vast differences that might exist between our worlds? So let's look at a few of those possibilities. Reproducing and preserving life, well, there's a big one, isn't it? It's right there. It's Maslow's foundation of the pyramid of our social systems. If a species didn't survive, if it didn't reproduce and eat, well, it wouldn't evolve very far, would it? So that's liable to be as common of a universal or even multiversal theme elsewhere as it is here on Earth. And if a species, an alien species, does reproduce, well, do they have family issues? Do they mate? Do they retain familial ties? Would the image of a parent and child serve as an effective means of trans-species communication? It is hard to imagine an advanced species that didn't interact in social structure somehow. Specialization of labor is such an important component of technological development and economic development. How do they interact with each other? Do they have social networks of common interest? Do they have professional organizations and clubs and circles of friends and art, music, churches? Viktor Frankl, one of my favorite philosophers, wrote that much of human development is based on a search for meaning, a sense of purposefulness. Do they have a purpose, a meaning, a reason for being, a motivational force, a recognition of something greater than themselves? And might we find some commonalities with our own world religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, Confucianism, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, Wicca? How might a civilization survive if not somehow coordinated with the environment? And we're learning that lesson well, aren't we? The production of food, the protection of non-renewable resources, viability of ecosystems such as water and air, or other biologically life-sustaining systems. If they haven't figured out how to do that well, they're going to be facing similar straits that we're facing, which is a planet threatened by lack of stewardship. How about governance? What kinds of governance might they have? How are those environmental systems so important we just talked about? How are they going to be governed and protected for the common good? And how are economic systems governed and coordinating? What ensures defense systems, an important part of government? Economic systems, do they have a specialization of abilities, and how are those abilities exchanged? Is there a socialist organization or a free market system? Is technology advanced to the point where all needs are met in a post-scarcity economy? I love that term. What's going to be done with free time? What motivates their participation in a social structure? These are sociological questions we may be asking as we prepare our ethnograph, our first ethnograph on an alien species. How about self-defense? Alien species, well, they may not necessarily be aggressive or warlike, says Steven Spielberg. It is safe to assume they would be able and eager to defend themselves against an attack. One group of scientists predicted that their weapons load would have to be light if they are traveling to us because of weight restrictions in space travel. Some theorists, well, here we go back to SETI again, they say the theme of altruism is a logical starting point for finding common ground. Dr. Douglas Vaklich, who is a resident psychologist at SETI, he suggests a notion of reciprocal altruism, in which you pick the bugs out of my hair and I'll give you a banana later. And he says, it seems possible that if other beings are sending a transmission to us, in a sense, they are practicing altruism, investing considerable resources as we are, perhaps in the hope of getting a message out and information back in return someday. And this sense of sharing is something that we might share. So there it is. This is my own feeble attempt, a brave, courageous attempt, perhaps certainly incomplete at paving the way to the universal or multiversal commonalities that intelligent species might use for the start at communication. Some say, hey, we may have already encountered aliens or that they have encountered us, but it's just being kept secret. Perhaps we do need to consider that secrecy in such an event would be essential. Groups of people can be dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, as we see on this slide. A nice quote from Men in Black, one of my favorite all-time movies. And, you know, sometimes something strange, something unknown can certainly threaten a group, and that's only practical, and it's even essential that such a situation encountering something so outside our field of reference that it should evoke an instinctive panic response. But that's where leadership and reason come in. So we shouldn't panic. These are wise words from Douglas Adams. We are once again on a verge of transformational change where the abundance provided by technology, well, that may downgrade these often polarizing roles of economics and politics and dogma. And we as educators and scientists and students and just well-intentioned, informed people, we can help prepare the way, influencing other mindsets by ensuring our own minds are set right. And others are very receptive to our sympathetic influence. One of my students said when she travels internationally, she leaves her know-it-all face at home and instead wears a face of humility and questioning, and she finds herself more welcomed because of it as she travels the world. And here is the world. This image, known as the Blue Marble, was taken by the Apollo 17 mission in the 70s. NASA says that even today, it is the single most requested image in their archives. And seen from space, our planet, it looks so inviting and vibrant and unified and peaceful, doesn't it? This is the face that we turn to the universe. So let's wear a face of humility and curiosity, and we may find a new and wider welcome to the cosmos. The Science Circle is a nonprofit program based in the Netherlands with a recording studio here in Southern California. For more information on this podcast and other Science Circle programs, please visit sciencecircle.org. That's sciencecircle.org. This podcast is under Creative Commons license and is freely available for educational use. Until the next time, I'm your host, Stephen Van Hook. Be well.